This teaching comes to you from the team at St. Mark's, Darling Point, Sydney. We hope that it blesses you.
The first reading this morning is from Luke, chapter 11, verses 5 to 13. And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his perseverance, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For whoever asks, receives. And everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading this morning is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then suddenly destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in the darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us all not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet of hope and salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we are alive with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing." Hear the word of the Lord.
Please be seated. I'll invite Philly to come and preach for us. Thanks, Philly.
It's great to be with you all. Before I open up the Word of God and try my very best to encourage you in your faith, I want to ask God for his assistance. So will you bow with me as we ask God for his help and for his illumination and for his spirit? Let's bow our heads. Mighty God, Lord, I am your servant. I ask, Lord, that you give me wisdom and clarity, sensitivity and love, Lord, as I proclaim truths, Lord, which last forever and actually have a real lasting impact on the human soul. Draw us closer to you, Lord, for you are the King, our Messiah. You are a comfort to our souls. I ask all these things for your glory alone. Amen. Friends, for all of you who, or those of you who don't know me, my name is Philimone Lolohea. I usually get people to say it, but it looks really weird with you or your mask, so I can't see. So it's Philimone Lolohea. Everyone just calls me Philly for short. Me and my wife, we're part of this service with our 3 kids. And so it's a wonderful privilege to be here and to speak on, you know, about eternal truths that really matter. And as Tim said, we've been going through a series right now, and last week was on prayer, and today I've been given sort of like the task to encourage you in your faith. And so if there's anything that I want you to leave with from this morning is that you stand firm, that you hold on to Christ despite whatever happens, that you hold on to your first love. If you leave with that, I feel like I've done my job. And it echoes the passage here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, is this is Paul's very heart to this newly born church that he planted. He'd only been with them for about 4 weeks. And then he had to go, and these people who had this newfound faith, there was opposition. Because all of a sudden there's a new king in town. There wasn't a king who governed the particular country, but this was a king of the universe. This upset authorities. And so Paul is writing to this church to encourage them to not let go despite opposition, despite persecution. Stand firm. If I was walking next to the Apostle Paul, I think you'd be blown away by the spiritual air in which he breathed. He'd be very different to me and you. He'd have such hope and vision for the future, such faith in God that would inspire us. I work as a personal trainer, and for me, the Apostle Paul is the ultimate spiritual personal trainer. And that's why I think he's a great guide for us. As he's talking to this church, however long it was ago, he's speaking directly to us as well, to stand firm, hold on to Christ. As I was reading through the passage, I was struck by 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. Now, in Alicia helpfully helped me see that in this particular version, it doesn't have the word that I'm going to use here. It uses the word sober. But the translation in which I read from says this: since we belong to the day, we must be serious. We must be serious. And it's like the seriousness of what Paul is saying is connected to verse 2 of chapter 5, which is, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. You see, that's the connection. That is what Paul is saying. This is why you have to take it serious, is because he is coming back. He's asking us to live as if he's coming back today. There's an intensity, friends, with how Paul writes this. Søren Kierkegaard is probably one of my heroes in the faith, a Danish philosopher. One of his problems with the church in his hometown was that it had just fallen into formalism. It was just Sunday by Sunday, with no heart or feeling for what they believed in. No passion, which expressed itself in real life. Paul is anything but fake. Oh, friends, he is anything but fake, and he is not just telling you nice things about the future, but his life reflects the reality of faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 30 to 34, Paul puts it this way: I risk my life for this truth every day. I get beaten. I go through shipwrecks to get people to understand this message. I go to far places to reach people about this truth. Now, if that's all a waste of time, and Jesus didn't die and rise to life, and he's not coming back, well, he says it like this: I might as well eat, drink, marry, and then die. But he later on goes, so don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Because of the death and resurrection and the return of Christ, we are to live a particular way, friends. And that is what I'm urging here this morning, is that we live in that epoch, friends, that time of his return. And so I ask myself, what am I to do, Lord? I'm not here to talk to you about when Jesus is coming back, because I don't think that's what I get from reading this letter. Rather, it's an attitude. Acts chapter 1, verse 7. Listen to this. This is Jesus to his disciples as he's ascending into heaven. He says to his disciples, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Friends, that's what we are. We are witnesses to the world. We are witnesses. Our attitude is one in which, do you have enough love in your heart to look around you at a world in which doesn't know their left from their right, seeking answers in all the wrong places? I agree with Jean-Jacques Rousseau when he says, man is born free, but everywhere I look, they're in chains. There are three things that I want to go through with you this morning, and I hope you'll bear with me. And that is, the first thing is that I want to encourage Christians to keep going. But that encouragement that I'm going to be giving is one of warning. In order to speak love, I must speak truth as well. And then I want to speak very sensitively about being asleep and what the Bible talks about people who are asleep. I don't want to come across judgmental, and I won't. More so, I want to come across with the burden on my own shoulders as I see people. I'm no better myself, if not for the grace of God. And then the last thing that I want to just address and to just remind you of is, how do we live in light of Christ coming back? How do we live? I want to speak to Christians right now, and I'm assuming that everyone in this room trust in the Lord Jesus. So I want to speak to you heart to heart. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 6. And Jesus speaks into this. He asks believers in Luke chapter 21 verses 34 to 36. I'll just quickly read it for you. "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." It's really interesting that in verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's interesting where God shows up. He doesn't show up when things are going bad. He shows up when things are good. He shows up when there's peace and security. And I've thought about this and I've wrestled with this, and it's true. I'll tell you why it's true. It might be funny, but I find it funny. You might not find it funny, but I find it funny. I live in Tamarama. I love surfing. Life is not hard there. I'm serious. Like, even though there is a pandemic, but life is pretty good. And I'm looking at people around me, and life is pretty good. But I think it's a distraction sometimes. And I want to share with you that I feel that struggle, brothers and sisters. I really feel that struggle. Francis Schaeffer, Christian philosopher, one of my heroes, says the two greatest things that just erode the church is personal peace and personal affluence, because it's a personal peace and a personal affluence without God. We become our own gods, and then we have nowhere to go. It is nowhere to go. Who here has read The Pilgrim's Progress? Melissa, you said that in the 8 a.m. I was hoping if someone else said it. Well, what's a Tongan guy reading The Pilgrim's Progress, right? Well, I'll tell you this. Pilgrim's Progress was written by a man, an Englishman in the 1600s called John Bunyan. And he writes this allegory about the Christian life, basically as a journey. And so Christian, he's found this new faith, he's on the narrow road, right? It's pretty narrow, and he's walking along this narrow road. And as he's walking, he spots three characters along the road. One is called Simple, the other one is called Sloth, and the other one is called Presumption. And so Christian, wanting to be a good Christian, he sees that they're in chains and they're not continually to walk, they're not walking along this narrow path. And so he stops, he says, guys, what are you doing? Can't you see you're in chains? And there's a roaring lion that comes along this path and he's just waiting to devour people like you. And so Simple goes, I've heard that. But I don't see no danger, Philly. Oh, Christian. And then you have Sloth. And he's just woken up from his slumber. And he's like, oh, I see no danger. I'll just go back to sleep. And then you have the other character, Presumption. And he says, whether you're right or whether they're right, look, we're on the same path anyway. It doesn't really matter. And when I first read that, I could see myself in those three different characters at different times in my life. But nevertheless, it's the same thing. It's a warning, friends. It's a warning to be awake, sober, serious. It's real. This is real. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 puts it this way. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking to devour. Friends, be awake. Be awake. I want to speak now about being asleep. The Bible is full of descriptions about people who are asleep. But what I'm confronted with is in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, Paul puts it this way, that they're under the wrath of God. And that's politically incorrect for me. Don't say that, Philly. Well, friends, the Bible says that they're under the wrath of God. Now, I'm not talking about wrath in the future at Judgment Day. No, I think Paul here is talking about a present wrath of God on people who suppress the truth. He says that in verse 18, and then he goes a little bit deeper. What does that look like, Paul? What does it look like for people to be under the wrath of God? Well, it's this. He hands them over, friends. He goes, go on, do whatever you want to do. Go on, go. You want to do that. You don't want to live a different life. You don't want to worship God. You want to worship yourself. And so what does God do? He hands them over. That is scary, friends. That is so scary, to be totally handed over to our sinful selves. There's no end to our sin. And here's me, just a pilgrim, a saved sinner. And I've got to tell people about the coming wrath. And I'm like, who am I, Lord? Wow, who am I? But does not love. It's not love to speak truth. The very heart of Paul is he doesn't want to please man. He seeks to please God. It's like me standing on the side. I can see a Big Mac truck coming to hit you. Now I'm going to be really polite and I'm going to say, one day you'll see that Mac truck coming to hit you. No, I'm not. I'm going to tell you there's a Mac truck coming. I don't care if I look silly. That's what I believe. That's what the Bible teaches. It's hard, friends. I'm not saying that it's an easy thing because I don't want to be judgmental. Yet there's the truth of God which divides. I've shared with you my own personal struggle, and one of my passions in life is to share with people the hope of Jesus. And there's a guy that lives nearby me, and he's a local real estate agent, and he's a surfer. He's a keen surfer, and we've often talked about Christ, and I happened to be coming out of my place at Tanarama taking out the rubbish, and this particular day, I just wasn't feeling it. Like, I do not want to talk God today. No way. I am not talking God today. So anyway, I try and be real sneaky and put the rubbish down and sneak out. He catches me. He says, Philly. Okay, better put on my Christian, whatever it is, right? Christian armor. Yeah. And so we start talking, conversing. Conversation very quickly gets to God. And as we're walking down to the beach, there's a man on a bike cycling around the beaches, and he just happens to intersect where we were. He stops his bike and he says, God has told me to preach to you the gospel. And so what does he do? He preaches the gospel. I'm standing there and I'm looking at this guy, looking at my friend Bernie. Bernie's looking at me going, did you orchestrate this? No, I didn't. I didn't. And it's those sorts of situations, friends, that it actually happens. I mean, we serve a living God who is sovereign. And so that really encouraged me because I sometimes feel like I'm alone, but we're not. We're not alone, friends. God has got his people out there shining lights into this world. You are not alone. We can be confident with what we have, the deposit that God has given us. Am I boring you guys? Okay. Because I get pretty excited when I'm talking about this stuff, and I'm about to talk about what I think is the highlight of this talk. It is the vision for the Christian life that I believe is lived out through the Apostle Paul. How do we live now, friends, in light of Christ coming back? How? We are so practical. We want to know the nuts and bolts. Well, nothing speaks more powerfully than a life well lived. Let me say that again. Nothing speaks more powerfully than a life well lived. You can tell me what you believe, but show me your life. Let me tell you, I look at the Apostle Paul, that is a life well lived. He lived in the reality, friends, of this world, in all of its brokenness, in all of its pain. And I want to ask Paul, how did you do it? You see, because authentic Christianity is not escapism. It's an engagement with life itself, friends. We are not Stoics where we pretend there's no evil, there's no suffering. We are not Buddhists where we suppress it, the self, desires. No, we feel everything, friends. That's what Apostle Paul is. He's a man of feeling. He's real. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, and I honestly believe Apostle Paul writes this to encourage other believers about what he goes through. Listen to this. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure for far beyond our ability to endure, so that we were despaired of life itself. This is the Apostle Paul telling me that he was so depressed, even of life itself. Wow, where do you get the strength from, Paul? I'll tell you where he gets the strength from. Not from pulling up his bootstraps, friends. Not from his own self, because we're too weak. No, from God. From God. From God. And in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8, he shows us, friends, he opens the door as to how you do this walk in light of Christ coming back. He says this, since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Let us be serious. Let us be real. Let's not play games. Putting on the breastplate of faith, love, and the helmet, which is the hope of salvation. These are spiritual things in which God gives us by his grace, friends. This is not by our own strength, friends. It is by faith. The moment that you say to Jesus, I trust you. I trust that you can wash me clean of things in which I have tried all my life to separate myself from. Only you can. Only you can. Wash me clean, whiter than snow. And that is faith. That is this faith in Christ. And that is what is described as the breastplate. So I put on this faith, friends. But this faith does not just do nothing. No, no, no. Guess what happens now? You're enrolled in his school. Do you think God wants you to be the same? No way. There is a thing called sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God for you, your sanctification. What does that mean, Philly? He wants you to be more like Christ. The Holy Spirit does that work, friends, the renovation of the human heart that only he can do. It's a gift that God gives to people who receive him with faith. And the outworking of this daily walk with the Lord. And you'll be able to look back at your life and see, you know what? God has been with me all this time. I can see him working. I can see that I sense that I'm changing. It's not because I'm trying to be strong or trying to follow some moral development 10-step program. No. This is the power of the gospel, friends. And then love. Oh, read Paul's letters. He loves people. He's got such a big heart. Loves people. I long to love like him because he loves like God. And that is Paul's prayer, actually. He read the epistles, his prayers, that you would grow in this knowledge of his love. Love, friends, love. It's a strong weapon against evil. The love of Christ breaks all the shackles and the chains and sets the captives free. And then the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. Christianity, friends, is transformative. It's transformational. It's powerful and it changes people's course in their lives. Think about Apostle Paul. Hey, I'm going to go and kill Christians. Later to be a Christian himself, speaking the message of hope against hate, truth instead of lies. And throughout Christian history, this is what the church has been. It's been about the gospel of hope. People's lives being changed, redirected. I'm just going to share with you really quickly. How did I come to faith? I came to faith, I was playing football at the South Sydney Rabbitohs. I was in the dressing room and my best friend at that time in my football team, Steve Skinnan. And I had been friends with Steve for about 2 years. I'd watched his life. I liked what I saw because I saw a real Christian. For real, the reality of what he believed manifested itself in practical ways. This is what I'm saying. It's not just games. This is for real. It was bubbling out of him. And so one day in the changing rooms, I approached Steve. I said, hey, Steve, I want you to tell me about Jesus because I think I'm a Christian. I went to Sunday school. Steve looked at me with tears in his eyes. He said, Philly, you're not a Christian. You're a hypocrite. And you're going to hell. Oh, I'm still not brave enough to say that. But I believed him. I believed him. And so Steve would spend the next month reading through the Gospels with me. And as I got to know more and more about Christ, it came to that point where we're sitting at Redfern Oval, where Jesus is on the cross and there's two criminals either side of him. One criminal says to him, "If you're the Messiah, you'll get yourself off this cross." Fair enough. And then the other criminal looks at Jesus and he says, "Father, will you remember me?" And I identified with this man because he had said, "Me and you are the criminal on the other side. We deserve this, but not him." And that just spoke to me powerfully. I was like, that's me. That is me. That is me. I need renovation. I need forgiveness. And I said, "Steve, how much does it cost? Does God take FPOS?" He said, "No, it's for free." That's good news. It's for free. The grace of the Lord Jesus. That he would die for our sins. This is the reality, friends. The reality of our faith. To close, an encouragement, friends, for you to keep walking with Christ. He will love you to death. There is nothing that can take away what God has deposited in your hearts, friends. Nothing. Let me just pray, friends. Will you bow your heads and I'll pray? Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for everything. I thank you for every person and soul that's in this room. I pray, Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit to please bless them and keep them safe. That on that day, Lord, when you return or when we see you, oh Lord, we will understand the full expression it is to be yours. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please visit our website at www.stmarksdp.org to subscribe to our new episodes, browse more resources, and find more information about the community of St. Mark's.